Welcome to Between Two Racks with Mike and Sean.
A show all about hunting, fishing, trapping, the outdoors, and everything in between.
At this time, we would like to give a shout out to our sponsors, Big Country Outfitters,
Antler Springs, Skulls and Mounts,
and Mike Jones Knife and Tool. All these links can be found on our website,
between2racks.com.
Good afternoon, everybody.
How you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah?
Surviving these fires.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
It's crazy, yeah. So, obviously today, once we get into the show, that's kind of what we're going to talk a little bit about here.
I think so. It's
something fairly important.
Yep. There's...
And it has a lot to do with...
A lot going on right now.
Hunting and the wilderness, the backcountry. Oh,
yeah. Yep. So that'll basically be what we're talking about today. And
Yeah. But okay. We got a couple other things. Catch up on.
Yeah. So what's new on your end?
Just working, just making it happen.
Yeah.
Had some fun though coming over here and doing some taxidermy.
That was a fun day. We did that moose head up and turned out really, really good.
Really well.
She's just down there drying now and
some finishing touches and off to where's this one headed? Where's the final destination?
It's going to California.
Cool.
I don't remember the town, but
cool.
California anyways. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sure he's going to be happy to get that back.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I had a great time.
Yep.
So, yep. But, right now, currently, I'm just kind of brushing off the cobwebs a little bit. I had some fun last night.
Had a late night last night, did you?
Yeah.
Well, you got to do that every once in a while, right?
Yeah, and it was a family thing, which was way cool. My little sister got married, and it wasn't a huge... big wedding, but definitely the reception afterwards was a lot of fun, and had the kids there, and you know, it's not every day they get to see dad bust out his moves.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I haven't even seen that.
So. No, it was epic.
Wow.
It was epic.
Wow.
It was great. So now I'm, not only nursing a bit of a headache, but I've got some joints and shit that are a little bit bound up.
Were you break dancing?
Yeah, well, breaking something while dancing. Yeah, it was good. It was lots of fun. And my son, he's got the latest thing there, that swish thing. Have you ever seen that?
No.
It's a crazy, weird dance robotic looking thing, and it's kind of difficult to do. Sounds funny because it looks simple till you go and try and do it, and anyway, it's a pretty interesting.
I'm just got that image of you doing a robot in my stuck.
Yeah,
my
no, that, that yeah. was that was done. That's like a staple. That was just an easy given. Yeah, I was definitely gonna bust out the robot.
Oh yeah, so you got some new dance moves and
it was a lot of fun. And all my sisters were there with their kids, and they were all up there. Everybody's up there just having a crazy great time. And,
cool.
and
good.
Yeah, it was
good
fun
for them. So. Yeah, some other news in our taxidermy end here. We got that big bear skull in the other day. Big grizzly. A friend of mine harvested. It's a pretty big bear for this country.
No, so. I seen it there. It was, it is a big bear. So you kind of rough scored it a little bit?
Yeah, 25 and a quarter.
That's big.
Yeah.
That's big in anybody's books. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's in with the bugs right now. So I think it'll look pretty good when it's all done.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. But
it'll be interesting to get that final score on.
I put some pictures on my Instagram of it there on how wore the teeth were.
Cool.
So the teeth weren't broke off or nothing. They were just
wore down.
There was some big chips out of it,
which
was unusual. I don't know what they, you know. Anyways, but the edges of the teeth were wore flat from just grinding together. We got to kill that fly.
Yeah, it just landed on your head. That's all I can
see. Oh, jeez. So, anyways,
that if his teeth are that badly kind of chip worn type thing, I mean, I see that in dogs that you throw rocks for. Now, why the hell? What would it be battling? Like, what is he chewing on? Just bone?
I don't know. Yeah, that's
isn't
what
it? Doesn't
like
make you wonder.
It looks like it was just like chipped, not broken, just
chipped away.
But yeah, that's anyways. Something I want to maybe look into is how to age. I learn how to age that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
I don't know the first thing about that, but it'd be interesting to be able to offer that to clients, you know.
Right.
Whether it's don't they like cut a tooth in half and count the rings or something like
that? Yeah, it's something like that.
I don't know nothing about it.
You know what? There's enough biologists around. I'm certain if you talk to one of them, they would give you a heads up on that.
So that's something I want to look into maybe doing, learning that. And, you know, for the deer and the moose and everything, and you give them kind of an idea on how old they actually are. Because you always, that's a mature deer. That's, you know, he's 10 years old or whatever.
Right.
It'd be nice to actually know.
No, I think, you know, that would be cool.
I really think it'd be neat in the bears, because some of them big bears get old.
They get old, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, I still don't buy into, you know, a bear that is, you know, well up in his 20s. I think that's pretty tough. I'm not going to say it doesn't happen, but I'm
not sure.
I'm guessing that, you know, you 25-year-old bear, I mean, that's...
Look that up, Amy. The oldest recorded hunted grizzly.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, so we got our fact finder here.
Yes.
I forgot about that. Yeah, we could just Google it. So anyways, I just wanted to touch on that. Pretty excited about doing that skull. Got a hunting trip coming up here in a few days. We're going to leave on the 17th.
That's not going far up away. North.
Yeah. Sheep hunting and caribou and grizzly.
Yeah. So. A little bit jealous. I want to hunt. Well, sheep would be great, but I've guided on all those, but never killed one myself. So one day.
Yeah. I've been on a few sheep hunts. It's been a while, long time. So it's going to be like, you know, an eye opener again. You know, I'm a little heavier than I used to be.
So are you training right now currently?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Heavily.
No, I've done a couple little hikes and stuff and
yeah.
Anyways, piece of piss I got in.
Yeah. You got this in the bag.
But yeah, my buddy that I'm going with, he's never really done any backcountry stuff or whatever.
Well, that's good. So, you know, the pace of the hunt isn't going to be crazy anyway. It isn't going to kill both of you.
Yeah. 40? Is that 40?
At a zoo.
Oh, that's at a zoo. No,
40, yeah.
Killed by a hunter.
Yeah.
Can you find that?
Or
40 years old at a zoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, those things they're feeding friggin' mash to.
Yeah.
You know, like they're keeping them alive.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But, yeah.
Well, we're still hoping to get, you know, these, as we're going to talk about later, a little bit about the wildfires and what's happening in the province here. But, you know, they've definitely kind of put a bit of a clamp on your, even just where we're located, you know, like with that, the recent changes in the boundaries, mm-hmm. Of the evacuation alert, not mm-hmm. the order currently, but I mean, we're just kilometers away.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, it's difficult to plan to leave.
Yeah.
You know, we realize that our hunting season is coming and we're going to be busy hunting and guiding and that typically happens later on in the year. So to plan something right now it's not easy. We've kind of got a floating plan. Obviously my wife wants to come out and she would love to climb a hill with me and see what we could find, but yeah, we have to be pretty fluid right now with just one good stiff wind and our entire, everything we do could change.
Well, we could still look into one of them late seasons after hunting.
Yeah.
Isn't there a general season in January or February?
Yeah,
or
there go? Is. Yeah.
But you got to go up like around Terrace or something. Yeah.
It's still completely possible. It's,
blah, blah. You get a way better belt, coat, hide.
Yeah. I mean, you're, you know, wading into snow up to your waist, mm-hmm. But that's okay.
But
it would be a lot of fun. But we'll see where we're at. You know, it really, our reality currently right now changes almost on the daily.
Yeah.
You know, on how things are going to go. What we do know for sure is we will be hunting this fall at some point. I just don't know if we're going to get away on an early hunt. That's all.
Well, we got a few more weeks and then everything kicks into high gear for us and you and that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's even been difficult. I mean, I've had trails and crap, a little bit more infrastructure I wanted to get done. Still gonna fight like hell to see what I can get in there, but like I said, right now, mm-hmm. if I suddenly, you know, get put on an actual evacuation order, that's mm-hmm. that's it, everything changes for me. Mm-hmm. So currently right now we're sitting good. We hunts are gonna go on as usual, short of a big fire up through yeah. that territory.
Well, up there, it's not as the issue's not as no. bad up there yet. No. I think there's no. a couple small fires, isn't there?
Yeah, but nothing but that's gonna.
Everything seems concerned. Everything that's concerned.
Yeah.
Down here is west and south of us.
Yes.
Yeah. But you know that storm that came through here that initially started all this
yeah.
rash of fires is that easily could have been another half hour up the valley and Quesnel would have been
yeah we would have been the evacuation town.
We just we got lucky in Williams Lake didn't get lucky that's
Williams yeah, Lake I know Mile, Clinton
yeah well
Ashcroft
I mean, yeah sorry all the way those through. Places yeah. but I just I know lots of people that are still on evacuation. That's been weeks.
Yeah, it's been yeah. a long time.
Yeah.
So. Because you sent me some pictures the day of some of the lightning strikes.
We were watching it from up on top of the mine there.
Yeah.
And before we couldn't see anymore because of the smoke, we'd counted 17 different lightning strike fires.
Wow.
And then the
just that you could see. You could look out across that you watched.
Yeah, and then the smoke got too thick. Like you could see them all the way across to the Chilcootin and all those fires.
Wow.
And it was amazing. It would just be a lightning strike and then a plume of smoke and then bam, another one.
It's crazy because from that point on, like that point of history right there, bam, would you were there.
Mm-hmm.
The entire reality of the Cariboo Chilcootin region of British Columbia changed.
Yeah. Yeah, and I watched it start up.
It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. There was a handful of us up there watching this storm come through, and it was scary.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You know, even currently right now with our current weather pattern looking at it, it's scary just looking at it.
The forecast for the next 10 days? It's crazy. High 30s, it's nothing but sunshine. Man.
And what is that going to bring? Give it 2 weeks, and what does that bring?
More storms.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's, and we're all just one lightning strike away from running like hell. So that, I mean, we're all in pins basically. And needles right now. So currently, you know, for anybody listening, British Columbia this summer is, you know, at least for our region, there's been other areas within British Columbia that have burnt, but within the Cariboo Chilcootin region, we are just getting hammered.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's fires currently everywhere. Huge fires. Fires that the, all they can do, they can throw up some fire guards, you know, far enough away and then hope that as the fire approaches, that it's not able to get across the guard. But currently right now, I mean, they're jumping the Fraser River.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, one decent wind and that's
so
it.
So many of them so close to towns and communities and stuff like it.
So there's been thousands of people that have been evacuated and some have actually lost, like mm-hmm. lost their homes.
I know a few guys that have lost their homes.
That's crazy. Yeah,
from work. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's too bad. But you know what? Big shout out to all these firefighters that are out there working. We watch the helicopters with the buckets. We see the guys leaving in the trucks. They've done amazing work and they're out there. There's no, you know, there's no breaks. I mean, they're just going. And they're literally these fires become almost monstrous in like in size. And
oh, they are. Yeah.
So these guys are still out there battling like crazy. So a big shout out to them. And thank you so much for all your hard work and all your efforts. And really, honestly, a lot of these big ones, I mean, we know that Hansville Risky Creek fire, when that joined up, there's a really true possibility that fire is going to go out sometime this winter.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's big. I heard someplace on the radio, someone said that, to date, it's the largest fire this side of the divide.
Wow.
Ever.
Wow.
So,
and that country is, it's dry country anyway.
It is.
You know, and
it's,
but so all the doom and gloom, you know, and there's been people horribly affected and, you know, but the bottom line is this is a bit of a cycle. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that happens
mm-hmm.
and Mother Nature really tries to kind of clean herself up.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere between once every, I don't know what the number is, 50 and 100 years, you know, the conditions get perfect.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of that grassland down there was starting to get choked out by brush, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, I know they've been trying to do like
small controlled
burns. Yeah. And, you know, and the when it's safe to burn, just to bring back some of that grasslands.
Yeah.
But now
she's going to be cleaned up.
Yeah. And I know there's a lot of ranchers, I think, down there that have been burnt out. And
yeah, I think so. I mean, there, I know the that region out west of Williams Lake anyway, most, or I shouldn't say most, I don't know what the actual number is, but I know a lot of those ranchers and residents out there, that, I mean, they just dug their heels in. Like, yeah, we're going to fight this. We're not going anywhere. And yeah, they've done a pretty good job. I mean, there's been a lot of places that have been saved due to their efforts.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and standing there and fighting. And, you know, you don't want to be dumb about it. You know what? You can always replace stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's coming and there's no slowing it down, you can replace stuff, but you've got to live through it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but a lot of them have fought and, you know, saved what they had. So, you know, that was a great job. But, you know, once this all clears up, I mean, it's going to have an effect this fall as far as it goes to the hunts. I've talked to guys that have waited. One guy had said he'd waited like some stupid 20 years or something like that for a moose draw. Like, it just, his luck wasn't there.
Oh, yeah.
And then as an added kick to the nuts, you know, he gets a draw that's now currently on fire.
Yeah.
You know, it just, it's shitty.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and that's just bad luck. But in the years to come, not the too far distant future here, it's going to be amazing.
And for a hunting aspect?
Yeah. 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 So for all wildlife.
Well, yeah, just in a wildlife aspect.
Yeah. And just the wilderness, just mm-hmm. cleaning itself up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's there's a lot of good that's going to come out of these fires mm-hmm. later on. Obviously not right now, but later on.
27, eh? That's...
Wow.
That's what she can find, 27.
Does it say where that bear, we're back on the bear subject yeah. here. So currently right now, Amy's been able to look up is, it looks as though the oldest recorded killed bear by a hunter is around 27. And I would never have guessed that old. That's incredible.
Wow. That's crazy. That's, yeah.
So that's a little bit of knowledge right there, folks. Mm-hmm. 27, in case anybody asks.
Yeah. Back on the fires here. Yeah. So. Yeah, no, there's going to be some...
Yeah, there's going to be some amazing habitat formed out of some of this.
And, you know, aside from the fires that are burning in town and the people losing their homes and stuff and displaced and evacuated and stuff, some of these areas, I think burning it is nothing but good for it, you know.
Well, and in certain circumstances,
let's just say a random fire.
Yeah, short of any, let's keep it away from, we don't want to see anybody's homes go up.
Yeah.
But as far as it goes to the backcountry and the cleanup work that's being done, there's some areas out there with this, after this beetle kill that are just atrocious. Nothing can use it.
Listeners might not know, but we had anyways,
that was really
bad beetle.
Epidemic. That's
anyways. So what? Be 20 years? It started 20 years ago. It probably started.
Yeah, it's probably when it got its a good foothold there.
So anyways, the pine beetle, mountain pine beetle, came through, and I know it's gone through a lot of other places.
Yes.
And stuff. But anyways, killed all our pine and the
of a certain age.
Pine, yeah. In our area is probably one of the
hardest hit. Yes.
So it's the beetle has really put an impact on everything.
Yes. So in part of that, a lot of these fires took out a lot of the beetle population. But when we started putting out a lot of fires before they were able to do that, you know, that saved a lot of beetles, which, you know, nobody's got a crystal ball. You can't look at it and say, wow, you know, either we let this one go or, you know, you're going to pay for this 10 years from now. Yeah. So the beetles were able to really do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
And they typically hit only trees of a certain size. Unfortunately, it was, you know, the most usable trees as far as it goes to the timber and lumber companies. You know, something you get a good 2x6 out of. I mean, that was what the beetles loved them.
Yeah. So, and in our region here, the lodgepole pine is our pine. It's not like they're sparse, you know, like pines you see in the southern regions.
That's right.
when that's that, what it did is killed all these pine. Now they're blowing over, and it's just forests and forests of pickup sticks. It looks like somebody threw a
one good stiff wind, and that's it. I mean, it'll knock down an entire forest,
and it's impossible to get through there. Moose can't even get through. No, it, you know, and the wolves use that for an advantage. They get them cornered in something like that.
Yes,
I've found lots of kills, and that's most likely the
result. Yeah.
So clean it up, and you know,
this, I mean, this is going to clean up a lot of that area out there that was really worth nothing. And
they tried logging as much as they can, but it's got to the point now where it's invaluable, I think.
Well, it, semi-invaluable? You know, I mean, it just depends on, it'll depend on the age of the stand that was hit, how long ago it was hit, the size of the trees, how much waste, you know, there's a lot of different variables, but on some of those blocks out there, right out within our guide area there, I seen actual bunchers trying to pick some of these things up that were already blown over.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's a buncherman's nightmare.
I mean, it was amazing that they were actually, you know, looking at some of this wood. Now, a lot of people that go out there will see some of the big waste piles and think that, you know, that there's just too much waste. Well, a lot of that's rot. They can't do anything about it. But but when they're actually trying to salvage and harvest trees that have been blown over, you know, that's, they're doing what they can out there. And so this is just, again, this is just Mother Nature's way of saying, hey, we're going to do some cleanup here. And,
oh, yeah. And, like that NASCO fire was 10 years ago now, I think, eh?
Yeah.
Man, that's some primo moose habitat out there
now. You can see it.
Yeah.
You can see it. Now, the challenge is a lot of those trees are still standing, and it's a matter of time. You know, and they're going to start blowing over as well. I think the biggest difference is they're a bit fire hardened, so they don't have the same rot that we see a lot of those beetle kill, because a lot of those trees are still standing.
And then when they come down after they've been burnt, they come down and they hit the ground, right?
Right.
Whereas if they still have all their limbs, they stand up. And
yeah.
So a lot of those will hit the ground. They're still
and be low.
Looks like pickup sticks, but you know, a moose can still run through there pretty.
Absolutely. Down,
from what I've seen anyways.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's, there's definitely a lot of bad stuff going on.
But there is, but
going to be some good come
out
of it.
There's going to be some great come out of it.
Look at all the grazing land for the ranchers down there in the Chilcootin opening up, you know, stuff.
And you know, as far as it goes to wildlife, and of course, this is a show, a lot of it is going to be around hunting. And so looking towards the future, there's a lot of mule deer habitat right now that's being, you know, made up. Bears, moose, we'd already discussed moose. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a ton of habitat. And this is kind of nature's way. Not that we want it to happen anywhere near residents or anything. But as far as it goes to out there in the backcountry, you know, this is kind of nature's way of renewal. And there's actually some, you know, some organisms out there that rely on this. I mean, look at what's going to happen with the mushrooms.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you need this. And can you imagine what this mushroom picking is going to be like
next
year?
We're already planning our trip for next year, mushroom picking.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. There's going to be pickers everywhere.
Yeah, they're probably not going to be worth nothing.
No, because there's going to be too many of them.
Many, but what we want to do is we'll get a bunch and dehydrate them for ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what mushroom do you typically go for when you're out there?
Well, we're after the morels.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're kind of the number one that pop up after a burn in an area like this?
Seem to be, yeah. Oh. That I know of.
Oh, that's going to be great.
That's what we always target anyways. So.
Yeah. So really, you know, it's going to depend on where you're going, on the heat of the fire that went through. And that's also going to depend on the, you know, what the regrowth looks like. So if a hot low to the ground fire went through, then pretty much nothing comes up, but most fires.
I think, I don't know what these fires are burning like, but, there's some monster freaking fires out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And you know, I've done a little bit of, I've done a little bit of reading on wildlife and how it's affected by the burns, and a lot, you know, there doesn't seem to be evidence of a huge kill off. You know, there doesn't seem to be evidence of the fact that these animals, there's going to be places they're caught, and there's going to be
there's going to be
wildlife killed.
Yeah, yeah.
But there doesn't seem to be evidence of like entire herds of animals that that are just decimated. They seem to, you know, they smell that smoke. They, you know, get an idea to move out. They've,
yeah.
These are animals that have lived, you know, generations or whatever. Wildfire is kind of a part of their life.
Yeah. They have their defense, you know. Yeah. I know, like, I have found burnt skeletons and stuff when I've been picking.
Yeah.
Whether or not it was from the fire, it's hard to tell because they're just kind of charred bones, right?
Yeah.
You know, it could have been something died and it could have been old bones that burnt over.
An interesting thing that I found when I was taking a look at how these fires may have an effect. There's some evidence that some of the predators out there will actually, for that meal right at hand, use the fire and use the reaction of their prey to actually help them hunt, which is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the movements. I guess it's the movements of the animals. Maybe that, I don't know, they realize they're all going to move this direction and you know, a bear or a wolf or whatever will capitalize on those movements due to the fires.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty interesting.
Wow.
Because these fires are, I mean, to a certain extent, especially some of us that live this short time short period of time, if you're 80 years or whatever, when you think about, when you end up thinking about these animals that have been on the planet for however long, I mean, wildfires were to a certain extent a common place, mm-hmm. you know, around their, you know, in their ecosystems.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an interesting thing. I just did some reading to find out what type of an effect this was going to have, mm-hmm. the wildfires were going to have. And it was pretty neat to hear that.
I heard a story one time from an old timer. He said that back in the pioneer, this is just a story. I don't know, you know,
right.
He said back in the pioneer days, the whole country turned red and then it lit on fire and burnt for 6 years.
Holy shitballs.
Yeah. So I maybe if somebody knows the actual story or heard that story before, but it's just a story I heard.
So back. This guy been drinking? How well do you know him? Is it a stable source?
A story from... that he was told, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
6 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean,
there's places where these fires will get into the ground, whether it's a peat bog or you know, big squirrel's nest or whatever, and just kind of just smolder there. So the fact that winter comes in, these things can actually flare back up.
Yeah.
The following spring.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They'll go underground for
absolutely
just smolder for.
So
a long
they'll
time,
just stay so. There, and so that's but, not
like I said. It's just a story. You know, I don't know. Might have been an old bullshit, but.
Well, I can imagine, back whenever, there was no slowing these things. There was no, you could just get out of their way. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Once they got started.
Who knows how many times this country's burnt off in, say, the last 10,000 years.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, like those, all those pine out west there, they're not that old.
No.
Right?
No.
And I've walked through lots of places where you can find the old remnants of burnt trees and stuff, you know.
I think, on the coast, where basically a wildfire with just how damp everything is just not going to happen. You see those big, old, 300, 400, 500, however old trees. Mm-hmm. Up here in the interior, that just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just doesn't happen. I mean, even some of the big fir trees, you can see evidence of fires that have gone through that when they were.
Oh, yeah. When Amy and I, we were out on our horses up the Alexander Mackenzie Trail there.
Yeah.
And it's all crossed a big ridge. And at the top of the ridge, it's a, you know, big fir stands, right?
Yeah.
And all those trees at the top of the ridge are all fire scored. And, you know, a lot of them are still alive and just
right
old warriors, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure what that was is because down below us was Native village.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure they were burning them hills off for pasture absolutely. For animals, right?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, and as a way to probably prevent uncontrolled burns.
Yeah, keep.
So keep that forest floor level type stuff cleaned up keep everything clean.
Brush from encroaching and stuff like that. So, yeah. No, I remember talking to a rancher up north, and he said he used to every spring go across the top of the ridge and light fires just to burn them hills off in his area.
Yeah. better
for
grazing,
for grazing and stuff. Yeah. And yeah. And then in the whatever it was, 10, 15 years that he hadn't been able to do it, you could see a lot of that space being growing back in.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's a scary time right now. Like I said, we're currently, our ranch is not far out of the evacuation alert. We're just a matter of a few kilometers, and
we're just getting into our peak fire season.
Exactly. This is just August now, so we're one lightning strike away now. Where we're at, we have a lot of grass. We don't have a lot of trees right up against the house or anything. I mean, we're a ranch out there, and so grass is more important to us than having trees right beside us. So I think ultimately, you know, short of a grass fire, it would make sense for us to hang out as long as the flames weren't, you know, licking our heels or anything. It would make sense to kind of be there to fight a grass fire, because you don't want to lose everything to a grass fire.
What do you got close for a water source there?
Well, on one side there, we have Hidden Lake. On the other side, we have Penchesket Lake. And then directly behind us to the south, that's all new logging. Like, they just logged it 2 years ago. I don't even know if they got in there to plant it yet.
You can always pump out of your lagoon.
We could pump out of our, we can run and sit in our lagoon and be safe. I'll tell the kids that.
Yeah.
First sign of any smoke, run to the lagoon, jump in. Nothing will get you there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it, you know, I think...
Well, you might have to get that big water tank
going. Yeah, fill her all up and be sitting there.
Yeah. So.
Well, and we've got cows and horses. And you know, there's a lot of people right now that have been evacuated that, you know, they have the option because they've got one or two horses to pick everything. But, you know, we've got a herd of whatever we're at now, 15 or 16. And then we've got another, shit, what are we at with cows? With the calves, I mean, there's got to be 50, 60 head.
You can't just pick them up and move, you know.
No, and they're, I mean, especially the ones that are out there, out on pasture. I mean, they're not close to any. Mm-hmm. You know, you're gonna be spending time to go round everybody up and try and get them all in, and then what do you do with them? So, you know, we've got some big hay fields. We've got a ton of smaller lakes and water ditches, and
yeah.
So I think that way we're okay where we're sitting right now. But you know, we're one of the lucky ones. And even currently, right now, when you see any of us that live out west here of Quesnel, we're some of the fortunate ones compared to what else is burning.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it's.
I mean, Nazco just you know, overnight the entire friggin' valley got their evacuation orders. I mean, overnight somebody shows up on your doorstep and says, "Guess what? Grab some of your shit you really like, and get the hell out of here now." Yeah. So, and if you're gonna decide to stay, isn't there some shit about dental records? Have you heard that?
Yeah, who was telling me that? I don't know.
So I mean, that's that they kind of suggest that
yeah.
that you hand in some dental records. Well, I mean, if it's that hot, right? There's not exactly DNA evidence of who you are, so I guess dental records are the way to do it. So if you decide to stay back and fight, I think maybe it's a rumor, but that's maybe. I've heard something about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but our thoughts to our neighbors out there in the west, out of Nazco, because they just got their packing orders. So there's convoys of vehicles leaving there.
Yeah, Amy's on the list to go help move animals if need be. So
I contacted another one of our outfitting friends out there and said, "Hey, this is where we're at." I'm at a difficult spot in that, being so close to the actual, you know, being the next ones to be evacuated, it'd be pretty damn difficult for me to go and open the place up and say, "Oh yeah, by the way, bring, you know, 300 damn animals here." And then
that's suddenly just now, it, right?
Now everybody's evacuated as well. So yeah, but we did reach out. I reached out to the outfitter that's out in that part of the world and said, "Hey, we're here, whatever I can do to help." And what would happen there is if the fire did get close, I'll just turn everything out onto the hay fields and they'll be fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, there'll be some burnt fences and I'll have to go gather up some animals, but everything will be okay anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of our plan as of right now. And hopefully we don't have to, you know, bring that to be. Hopefully we don't have to do that. We can just keep it in the planning mode.
Yeah.
Have to do it.
Well, let's hope that, you know,
that these things kind of gather up, they end up burning towards one another and burning each other out, and then there's the mop up from there.
Yeah. So What else? We got...
I don't know. You know, we want to talk about the fires out there. And
I want to... I think if we do get a sheep,
yeah,
I want to do that life size in the corner mount like we were looking at there.
Something else.
Yeah, it would look good right up there. I'll move them antelope.
No, it'd look amazing.
And plunk it from right up there above the TV.
And we got to do something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. We also, we got that life-size wolf to do too.
Yeah.
So that's another project.
Yeah. No, I they're fun.
I tell you, it was sure nice working down there in the basement the other day.
Out of this heat.
I forgot even how hot it was outside. I stepped outside. It was like, hit a wall. Yeah. I can't believe Karen rode her bike.
Oh God. And it's that way. Like this afternoon, I'll be out there where she's chasing horses in right now. And I'm going to be underneath a bunch of our shitters and trimming toes and boy, you want to sweat. You want to sweat and want to work out. That's where you want to be.
Sweat that hangover out.
Oh God. Underneath a shitter at, you know, 35 degrees.
So what else? We got some big news. We're on iTunes now.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. Huge.
Yeah. So I took a look. I went on my Sean and I are still learning about a lot of that. I mean, we rely on Amy. So not only is she here, she can kind of help check our facts and make certain that we don't go off on some weird ass tangent and kind of keep us somewhat focused, the best of her ability. Anyway, she also does, you know, the majority of the technical stuff. So I jumped onto the little podcast app and typed in B, the letter 2, and R, inside joke there. And so the B, number 2, and R, and Between Two Racks popped up. So that was pretty cool. See us on there.
Yeah, yeah. And our Instagram, and what's our web page again?
Our webpage?
Yeah. Between2racks.com.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the number 2.
Yeah.
So, and from there, we've got all of our socials. Sorry, I didn't know where you were going there. I thought you were trying to trick me or something.
No,
shit.
No.
Yeah. So, all of our social media stuff's on there, and you can kind of follow who we are, what we're about, what our lives are like. Pretty kind of somewhat boring to a certain extent.
And I think in a short time here, we'll get figured out how to do some phone calls and
Have some guests. So I had another thought. I think I ran it by you already, that if you can do any impersonations, then we could have some high-end celebrity guests. Like if you've got a really good Sean Connery or something, it would be quite interesting.
I'm not a very good person.
Yeah, but I heard you can do a mean Simpsons Willie dude.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, Willie, maybe one Simpsons. maybe
I didn't know he was a hunter.
We're going to make him a hunter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll make him a hunter. So yeah. I've got a list of questions I'll ask Willie one day, and we'll have a good laugh.
We need my cousin here because he's a crack at that kind of stuff. Oh, yeah, he can do.
That'd be great.
He can do everything.
That'd be great. Yeah. That's what the world needs. We need lots more laughter.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so lots of, you know, we got hunting coming up, guiding coming up. Yeah,
and just something else I'd like to throw out there. You know, I'm a less than active member. I should be more active with the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. But anybody listening, let's quickly just give a shout out to that organization. I think it's a great group. Take a look. I'm certain you can look up Google the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, and we have a BC chapter, and really it's about, you know, kind of preserving some wild areas for everybody to enjoy, whether that's, you know, ensuring that that land stays open and available to people, or just, you know, paying attention to what's happening out there with wildlife and populations. They're a great, great organization. And I'm not necessarily a completely as active as I should be member, but I'm definitely a proud member of them. I think that what they're doing is a great thing. And so I'd like to see some more. I'd like to see a little bit more interest, you know, here in British, especially in the interior. So anybody interested should take a quick look and look at becoming members.
Right on. So should we wrap this sucker up?
Let's wrap her up.
All right, man. Well, I'm off to bed because I got to work tonight.
All right. Well.
And you're off to do horses.
Yep.
All right.
Stay hard, my friend.
Stay hard.